together the first six verses of this 51st Psalm. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Begin with me, please. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And these are verses for memory. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, page 413 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading one verse from the 18th chapter, three more verses from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, page 413. And let's read the 22nd verse of the 18th chapter. We'll read that together. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Turn to chapter 19 and verse 10. We'll read that together. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Also verse 14. And he said, I am then very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And now verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for whatever you have in mind this evening. We know that whatever you do have in mind, you've laid it upon the heart of our preacher, and we need it. So give us attentiveness to the word. Give us thy power upon us. May we leave this place rejoicing that once again you met with us. And please do meet with us tonight in power and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
The title of my sermon tonight is a rather provocative one. I'm speaking on the subject, it's time to come out of the closet. To those of you to whom this sermon applies, I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. It's time to come out of the closet. I want to read for you just a verse or two we read a while ago and lay the foundation for the sermon. Elijah said in 1 Kings chapter 18, he said, I, even I only, remain. And in chapter 19 and verse number 10, he says, I, even I only, am left. In verse 14, he says, and I, even I only, am left. God says in verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I want to speak on the subject, it's time to come out of the closet, or better still, where were the 7,000? Where were these 7,000 people? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me tonight as I speak. May every college student, old and new, sit in attention and listen. May every high school student hush and shut up and pay attention. May every child put away his color book and his notebook and listen to the preacher while he preaches. Bless the sermon tonight to our hearts, please. Amen. You know the story. I will not spend time recounting the story. How that Elijah by himself had stood against the prophets of Baal, had prayed down the fire from God out of heaven, and had even ridiculed, mocked, and satirized the prophets of Baal. You also remember, don't you, how that Elijah, after that, became discouraged and went to the juniper tree. And there he said, I am the only one left, and became discouraged because Queen Jezebel had said, by this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. Now, I want you to notice what Elijah did. Now, listen carefully, because tonight I'm going to start off, as I always do, usually anyway, laying the foundation. I want you to notice what Elijah did before he ever prayed down the fire. Number one, he repaired the altar, which was broken down. I do not know what altar this was. Perhaps it was the altar that Samuel built when anointing Saul as Israel's first king. I do not know what altar this was. Perhaps it was the one built by Jacob in the patriarchal days. I do not know what altar this was. Maybe it was Abraham himself who worshipped the Lord, the God of Elijah, here at this altar. Whatever it was the old altar repaired. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a bunch of new stuff in our generation. We need the old Bible and the old gospel and the old doctrine of the church and the old-time religion on which this country was built. So it was the old altar repaired. He was identifying himself with the faith of his fathers by rebuilding the altar. He was identifying himself with the old-time religion, and he was showing that he believed, just carefully now, in restoration rather than innovation. Let me say it again. He was showing that he believed in restoration rather than innovation. He does not hew out fresh stones. He gathers the old stones and rebuilds the same altar that was there before. He does not erect his own, but rebuilds what God already had given instructions to erect. Then he stands before the enemy. Oh, I love Elijah. Oh, nobody in the Bible like Elijah to me. I love this fellow. He stands before the Ministerial Association all by himself. 850 men in the Ministerial Association. Elijah said, you pray to your God and see what if you can get fire from heaven. If you can't get fire, let me have a shot at it, and I'll pray to my God. And so they start praying to their God, and there's no answer, of course. No fire falls. And Elijah said, don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Maybe he's busy talking to somebody else. Don't be in a hurry now. Keep on calling. And they beat themselves and cut themselves, the Bible says, with knives and knife-like instruments. And Elijah said, maybe he's on a hunting trip. Maybe he's with Brother Lapina up north, hunting, the deer hunting or something. Hey, just wait. We're in no hurry now. All right. Maybe the Bible says maybe he's pursuing or being pursued. Hey, maybe he's on a vacation. So we'll just take your time. Boy, I like that. I like that. I like a guy that has gumption. And, so then Elijah said, boys, have you got it all fixed now? And so he decided to get water and pour on the altar and pour on the sacrifice. Well, you said, that's pretty dumb. He poured altar on it. He's going to pray down fire. Oh, my God can put fire on wet wood as well as he can on dry wood. Doesn't matter at all. Elijah wanted to show that this was an act of God, a miraculous act of God. Now, you know the story. He stands before the enemy all by himself. He wins the battle. Are you listening? There's no one to cheer. No one says amen. There's no one to cheer. He becomes discouraged and dismayed and goes to sit under a juniper tree. And three times he says, I am the only one left. And then God reminds him that there's 7,000 who have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. I'd like to ask those 7,000, where are you? Where were you when the fire was falling? Where were you when the battle was raging? Now, you haven't bowed your knee to Baal, but you haven't bowed your knee to Elijah yet either. I'm simply saying, Elijah by himself prayed down fire, took a stand. There were no amens. Nobody said, I'm proud of you. Nobody gave him a standing ovation. There was no, I'm praying for you. There was no decorated door from some folks who welcomed him back from vacation. There were no notes of encouragement. There were no I love you preachers under the door. There were no you're the greatest preacher in all the world from little children's lips. There was no candy bar from a child. There was no loyal staff. There was no Blackwell to say amen and praise the Lord. There were no bagels from a loyal church member. I'm simply saying Elijah got discouraged. Now, I'd have gotten discouraged too. Hey, listen to me. Hey, fellas, listen to me. I'd gotten discouraged too. And don't you be too rough on Elijah. You be rough on these 7,000 people who should have been there hollering amen for Elijah. This last week, somebody came to our parking lot one night about 8:45 across the street, and they started hollering, Hiles ought to be dead. Hiles ought to be dead. Hiles, and screaming over there, Hiles ought to be dead, or Hiles should die, or Hiles is going to die. I don't know what. Well, Hiles is going to die if Jesus doesn't come, but I don't have any immediate plans. And then they started saying, Hiles' head would look good on the sidewalk. I don't know if that's a part of Hammond's beautification of Sibley Street or not. But it would certainly help. Nothing to hurt. It would certainly help some. Hiles' head ought to be on the sidewalk. Oh, boy. Our security guards heard about that, and they tightened security, and they rushed a note to me, and they said, Preacher, you be real careful. But Elijah didn't have that. I mean, Jezebel said, I'll get you before this time tomorrow, and there are no security guards to stand for him, and nobody to warn him, and nobody to encourage him. I'm simply saying, I'm not complaining about Elijah being under the juniper tree, hey, and saying, I'm the only one left, and getting discouraged, and then going to a cave, and saying, I'm the only one left. Bless God for Elijah. I'd like to know where these 7,000 pussyfooters were that should have been up there on the mountainside saying, we're for you, we're behind you, and we're with you. We want to encourage you. And glory to God, you're God's man, and we're with God's man. I want to know where they were. Let's take a look at these 7,000 men. It says they had not bowed their knee to Baal. But by the way, they hadn't bowed their knee to God either. They could have been a great encouragement to Elijah. And by the way, they could have kept him from his discouragement. Certainly they knew the conflict. You know, when the king's doing something, you know about it. Everybody knows what's going on in Washington, D.C. now. And everybody knew what was going on then. The king Ahab had asked Elijah, art thou he that troublest Israel? Boy, I like what Elijah said. Ahab said, that Baptist preacher said, art thou he that troublest Israel? Elijah said, no, your majesty, you're the guy that's causing all the trouble in Israel. These were saved people, 7,000. They knew of the conflict. They knew what was going on Mount Carmel. They knew about this Baptist preacher that had challenged the whole ministerial association. They had not endorsed false worship. Hear me now. But they did not want to identify with this opinionated fundamental Baptist preacher. They didn't want to soil their reputations by standing publicly against the king's religion. They're the kind that would have gone to the presidential prayer breakfast to endorse a whoremonger. Elijah's bombastic religion wasn't their time. Oh, don't misunderstand me. They had not bowed their knee to Baal. But they did not want to identify with this old-time bombastic preaching from this hellfire and brimstone preacher. They were the white glove Christians, if you please. Oh, they wanted to be in the army of the Lord, but they wanted to be in the quartermaster corps or play in the army band. They didn't like the satire and humor of Elijah. They were God's children, but didn't want to get in the battle. They were hidden Christians. Where were they? There was a battle raging. Their descendants are alive today. Millions of hidden Christians who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I said Christians, I said born again people. All of this country have not bowed their knee to Baal, but are AWOL from the battle. Not only are they not on the battlefield, but they're not even encouraging those who are on the battlefield. Elijah is too controversial and too negative for these Christian people. Where are they while the battle rages? Today. There's a battle raging over the Bible today. Where are these 7,000 people? Zondervan comes out with his dirty New International Version. Broadman Press comes out with one. American Bible Society comes out with one. Reader's Digest comes out with one. National Council of the Churches. Brother, there's a battle going on about that book I hold in my hand right now. Let me tell you something, brother. I'll spend the rest of my life saying that that book does not have one single error in it anywhere. There's a battle raging. Hey, you 7,000 people hidden in these liberal churches, you're born again. Come on out and join the battle. There's a battle going on for the Bible. There's a battle going on for the blood of Jesus Christ. John MacArthur and his tribe said the blood of Jesus Christ is not important. It does not have to be sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Perhaps that blood is still at the foot of Calvary. There's a battle going on. You folks tonight who come out to visit and hear, every once in a while somebody writes and says, we like your preaching, and on every once in a while we like to come out and hear you. Brother, put your feet on the table and help pay the bills. I identify yourself with old time religion. I identify yourself with King James Bible people. I identify yourself with those who will fight for the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a battle going on. There's a battle over the Bible. There's a battle over the blood of Christ. There's a battle for soul winning. Our kind of soul winning, New Testament kind of soul winning, is being attacked today by a bunch of evangelical pussyfooters. A battle for soul winning. The soul winning like Jesus did at the well of Sychar. The soul winning like Philip did on the road to Gaza. The soul winning like New Testament church went from house to house. And every house, like the church at Jerusalem, when it says they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. There's a battle going on. You don't need to come out and visit Elijah every once in a while. Or Elijah's every once in a while. You need to join up with the folks that are in the battle. And if you get in the battle, if you can't get in the battle, get in the grandstands and cheer the folks that are in the battle. There's a battle going on, not only for the Bible, the blood and soul winning. There's a battle going on for the church. Now you listen carefully. If you want to drive a nail in my casket, here's one you can use. I would just as soon a young person not go to college at all, I'd rather not go to college at all, than go to a college that owns a church. Colleges shouldn't have campus churches. Churches ought to have campus colleges. There's a battle going on. You haven't got any business going to a college where the president chooses the pastor. Or the college has the services. You find yourself a college where a New Testament church has its hand on that college, and the church is the most important thing. And let me say to every Hiles Anderson College person who's new here, First Baptist Church of Hammond is 10 times more important than Hiles Anderson College is. There's a battle going on versus the invisible church, the universal church, the campus church, the electronic church. There's a battle going on for the future of our kids. The arsenals of hell are pointed toward them. There's a battle going on for the saving of America. Where are these 7,000 people? I'll tell you where they are. They're tucked away in liberal denominational churches that they refuse to give up on, whom Jesus gave up on years ago. It's time to come out of the closet. Identify yourself with the old-time religion churches, the kind that don't have new altars, but they have repaired the old altars. Where are these 7,000 hidden Christians? Hidden in yuppie-like churches, criticizing the ones who are challenging today's Ahabs. Come out of the closet! Where are these 7,000 hidden Christians, hidden in ministerial associations, more interested in fraternizing with one another on the left than those on the right who are right? Where are these hidden Christians? They're hidden in Youth for Christ, Champions for Christ, Campus Crusade, Promise Keepers, and other non-church organizations who want to be in the Army of the Lord but in the Quartermaster Corps instead of the infantry. Come out of the closet. Where are these 7,000 Christians? They will not defend the Bible. They wouldn't have if somebody hadn't died for it. Let me say it again. These 7,000 people, like I read an article that just written the other day. Somebody gave it to me yesterday, I think it was. A lady wrote an article, pretty decent lady. But she said, we ought to say the King James Bible is the best. That's not enough. You say the King James Bible is the only Bible. The only Bible. Where are these 7,000 people? They will not defend a Bible they wouldn't have if somebody hadn't died for it. And you have no right
not to defend the Bible when the blood of the martyrs was shed for this old book right here.
Where are these 7,000 people? They're hidden in home Bible study groups and cell block groups, and they ought to come out of the closet. Where are these 7,000 people? They're hidden in charismatic churches, more loyal to the word of knowledge than a knowledge of the word. Where are these 7,000 people? They're hidden in Bible study groups that neglect the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have all these rich people that meet in these real nice homes and have their little Bible study groups all together and tell them that the local church was what Jesus died for and He gave His blood for it, according to Acts 20:28, and you have no right to neglect the local church. But you say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a businessman, I'm worth millions. I don't care what you're worth, brother. You identify yourself with the old-time religion. Where are these 7,000 people? They're hidden in convention churches where there's more loyalty to the denomination than the Son of God. They're hidden in socially acceptable churches with a Bible with no preservation, a hell with no fire, a gospel with no blood, salvation with no regeneration, a heaven with no golden streets, a church with no visibility, a blood without a mercy seat, a second coming without a millennium, a pulpit without preaching, a dedication without separation, a plan of salvation without soul winning, and women without femininity. Come out of the closet and identify yourself. Oh, they hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. But I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough to just not... Elijah would never have gone to that juniper tree if he'd had some people to identify with him. Sad to say, some are hidden in churches like this who enjoy the fruit of victory without entering into the battle. What are you doing for God? Filling up 18 to 20 inches of pew every Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. What are you doing for God? Where are these 7,000 people? There's a battle raging. We need some people on the battlefield, but bless God, we need some folks up in the grandstand cheering us along. You listen to me carefully. It's a crime when Sammy Sosa gets more cheering than Jesus Christ. They're silent in a nation that puts women in the army and wonders why there's sexual harassment. They're silent in a nation who puts women in police cars with men and wonder why there's sexual activity. A nation that puts nude magazines on every corner and wonders why so much rape and sex sin and sexual assault. They're silent in a nation that puts liquor in every grocery store and wonders why so many people are killed by drunken drivers on our highways. They're silent in a nation while a nation gives queers equal rights and wonders why AIDS is so prevalent. They're silent in a nation that makes heroes of unmarried fathers and wonders why we have a breakdown of morals. I'm talking about Pippen on the Chicago Bulls and others. They're silent in a nation that puts murder in front of the children and wonders why the children murder. They're silent in a nation that puts sex on every corner and in every house and wonders why we have so many illegitimate babies. They're silent in a nation that makes heroes of multi-married Hollywood whores and wonder why the home is being destroyed. They're silent in a nation that sends mothers off to work and wonder why we have so many juvenile problems. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for every blood-washed child of God to stand up and identify himself with the old-time gospel and the old-time book. Come out of the closet! God comes to these 7,000 and cries, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," saith the Lord. Identify yourself with the unpopular Elijahs of our day. Identify yourself with the old fundamental New Testament churches of our day. But you say, Brother Howe, those preachers, you preachers are so controversial. Elijah wasn't exactly elected president of Israel. He didn't succeed Ahab on the throne.
I'm simply saying these 7,000 people could have been used of God if they had just gotten in the battle, or not in the battle, just stand up and say amen to folks who are in the battle. Identify yourself with the old-time religion. I've said it so often, I'll say it again. A lady said to me, Brother Hounds, I belong to the United Methodist Church. And the United Methodist Church is gone. John Wesley is weeping in heaven over what he started. But she said, Uncle George is buried in the cemetery behind our church. I said, join old-fashioned church. We'll dig him up and bury him out in front of our building. The time has come for born-again people to quit saying such things as the Chicago athletic team say. Well, we believe in religion, but we're not trying to push it off on anybody. Well, the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If there's a hell to shun, let's tell people about it. If there's a heaven to gain, let's tell people about it. If folks die and go to hell and burn forever and ever in the fires of hell, let's tell folks about it. If they don't, let's all go play golf tomorrow morning. Identify yourself with the King James Bible. Identify yourself with independent fundamental Baptists. Identify yourself with hell, fire, and damnation preaching. Identify yourself with old-fashioned separation and standards. Identify yourself with soul winning. Identify yourself with old-fashioned preaching. Identify yourself with independent fundamental Baptist colleges. I said independent. I said fundamental. And I said Baptist. Identify yourself with the premillennial, pre-tribulation, second coming of Jesus Christ. Come out of the closet of your denomination. Come out of the closet of your social acceptance. Come out of the closet and identify yourself. Tell the world you're a Christian. I said, tell the world you're a Christian. I'll sing it. I'll tell it where I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of my salvation that makes my heart glow, for I've been born again. Tell the world you're a Christian. Tell the world you're a Baptist Christian. Tell the world you're an independent Baptist Christian. Tell the world you're a fundamental independent Baptist Christian. Tell the world you're a First Baptist Church of Hammond fundamental independent Baptist Christian. If you can't be an Elijah, encourage him. If you can't be an Elijah, pray for him. If you can't be an Elijah, stand with him. If you can't be an Elijah, defend him. If you can't be an Elijah, love him. But don't be silent when Elijah has been threatened by Queen Jezebel that tomorrow, this time, you'll be dead. Come out of the closet at school. If you go to public school, carry your Bible with you. And if you go to Hammond Baptist School, carry your Bible with you. And don't hide it in some little lace thing that covers up your Bible. It doesn't let folks know you have a Bible. Take your Bible, take it out of that little purse you got, and can't. I'm saying, come out of the closet. Let folks know you believe this book. Come out of the closet at school. Some of you Hammond Baptist kids, come out of the closet at school. Come out of the closet at work. Let folks where you work know where you stand. Come out of the closet in your neighborhood. Again, may I say, and I'll close. I love Elijah. And I've heard too many sermons criticize. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. I've heard too many sermons criticizing Elijah for getting discouraged. Somebody ought to criticize the 7,000 pussyfooters who knew there's a contest going on Mount Carmel. They knew that Ahab was after the hide and skin of Elijah. They knew that Jezebel was after Elijah for his life. They knew the prophets of Baal and Elijah were having a contest on Mount Carmel. Where are they? Where are they? Come out of the closet tonight. Stand up and say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a Baptist child of the King. independent Baptist child of the King. Fundamental independent Baptist child of the King. First Baptist Church, fundamental independent Baptist child of the King. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those 7,000 people. There's Elijah running for his life. I bet you if 7,000 folks were running with him, Jezebel wouldn't have been quite so anxious to kill him. But there's Elijah discouraged. A man who stood by himself. But I want to say there's not anybody can stand by himself all the time. That's one reason why at Hammond Baptist Schools that the good crowd ought to be the majority and the lawbreakers and rule breakers ought to be the minority. Hey, let the rebels stand by themselves for a while. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord. Indeed, in God's name, let God's people come out of the closet. Our Heavenly Father, I pray You to help us tonight. To realize that we're not going to be popular with this whole world. I'm not going to be asked to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast, and if I were, I wouldn't do it. We're not going to be popular with this whole world. Elijah wasn't. Stood by himself. He said, I'm the only one. He didn't even know there's anybody else saved. He didn't know there was another prophet in the land. Three times, I am the only one left. Oh, my soul. What a tragedy. And yet there were 7,000 people have not bowed their knee to Baal. Our heads are bowed. No one leaving.